Morning. Today's daf in Tzvachim is Lamed Gimel. Towards the bottom of the Amud, we just finished up. But what I'd like to do is go back to Ula and start again with Ula, as really the entire sugya today. Today's daf entirely revolves around a statement made by Ula, which is on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So that's where we're going to begin. I'm Ula, I'm Reish Lakish. So the Gemara quotes the name of Ula and the name of Reish Lakish. Tamashich Nesiyadu Lefnim Lokas. So if you have somebody who's Tameh, Alam Beis Amud Beis. So about eight, nine lines from the top of the Amud. So if somebody's Tameh and sticks his hands into the interior of the Azara, so he's going to be subject to Malkus. Meaning we know that somebody who's Tameh goes into the Beis Hamikdash is subject to Malkus. Under certain circumstances would be Chayiv Karis as well. So Ula says it doesn't have to be his entire body. It could even just simply be a portion of his body. Just his hands. In other words, so if he just takes his hands and put them inside, into the tear, he's going to get Malkus. Why? Shenemar, the Torah says, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, Vel Mikdash Lo Savo. Torah says, regarding a woman who has given birth and is therefore Tmeya, that she cannot touch, make contact with Kodesh, and she can't go into the base of Mikdash. So, Manigia B'Mikdash, Manigia Avbiya B'Mikdash, Mabiya. So, in other words, the Torah over here has two verbs to describe, contact and entrance, and we know that when it comes to contact, negia, so negia b'miksa, shma negia, that in other words, a partial contact is considered contact. Meaning, touching is touching. Once they make contact with something, so that's a violation. And that obviously doesn't have to mean that there's full contact, it just simply means a part of her body touches part of the tuma. So that brings about an isser. Same thing with bia. In other words, a partial entrance is considered entrance. This is Ula Shita. This is Ula's Chiddush that the Gemara will be spending the remainder of today's daf discussing. So the Gemara asked a question based on the following. So this is a complicated case. So let's take this case step by step. So you have somebody who's a Mitzorah is going through a Tahara process. Tahara process is an 8-day process. On day one, go through the procedure of the birds, a pair of birds. One is shechted, the other one is let free. Then there's a shaving, and then there's a counting of seven clean days. At the end of seven clean days, so the Mitzorah will tov on the mikvah, and then experience hair of shemesh that night. So that means on the eve of the eighth now, so our Mitzorah is going to be, for the most part, in a state of Tahara. However, one thing missing, and that's, of course, the Karbanos on day eight. Karbanos are going to be brought by the Mitzorah on day eight. Two of the three Karbanos are going to be brought on day eight. It's going to be a Chatzos and an Osham. The blood of the Osham is going to be applied to the Mitzorah in a special way, which we're going to be talking about more in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, that is the Tahara process of the Mitzorah. Now we're on day eight. Day 8 of the Mitzorah happens to coincide with Erev Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan. On top of that, there is a further complication in this particular case, in that not only is this person recovering from the Tzaraz, but also happens to be that Bo Bayom on that very day, meaning on the 8th day of the Tahara process and on Erev Pesach, it also happens to be that such an individual becomes a Baal Keri. Baal Keri now is a 1-day Tumah, meaning you told from the Mikvah, and that night, so you experienced Hair of Shemesh, and therefore you are, you're Tahor. So, Vitavo. So this individual now toveled in the mikvah. So this individual now, tonight, is ready to eat Karban Pesach. Here comes the problem. The problem is that he's not ready yet. Meaning he has still to bring his Karbanos for being a Mitzorah. That's good. By the way, I'll just say parenthetically, I don't know where his carbonus is going to fit on that particular day. That's not true, by the way. You can bring it in the morning. Because that afternoon is going to be so busy in the base of Mikdash. But anyway, okay, let's resume. Okay, so this person now needs to bring his carbonus. Now, as we discussed, it yesterday, but we got to discuss it again now. In other words, in order for a Mitzorah to bring his carbonus, now again, because he's Mechusar Kippurim, because this Mitzorah has not yet brought his carbonus, so therefore can't go into the Azara. Here's the problem, and the Torah gives a solution. The problem is that as part of the Tahara procedure on day 8, so you're gonna shech the chatzis, you're gonna shech the nasham, and then what you're gonna do is you're gonna take the dam asham, the blood of the carbon asham, and you're gonna apply it to various parts of the mitzorah. His right ear, his right thumb, his right toe. And these applications of the blood of the dam asham have to be done in the azara. Problem is, he's still a mitzorah. He can't be in the azara. Okay, that's the problem. What's the solution? Solution is very simple. The Torah tells us. Torah tells us that what he does is that he doesn't go into the Azara. He just simply inserts his right ear and his right thumb and his right toe into the interior of the Azara. The blood is going to be applied to those areas. And that's it.
That's the issue. It's that he's about
hair. Well, In other words, hold on one second. Meaning, I'm aware. In other words, there are two issues. But in other words, first, I'm setting it up so that we understand how the Gemara's consideration is going
to
work.
He'd be,
in other words, no, if he was a Mitzara, this would be the procedure. Meaning, again, he's Mechusar Kippurim. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash yet. He can only go into the Beis HaMikdash after the Karbanos are brought. At this point in time, Tahara has been mostly achieved. Meaning, he's already gone through 7 days of Tahara process. He already told from the mikvah, he already experienced Erev Shemesh. The only thing that's lacking is Mechusar Kippurim.
So once he gets through that process, he can go through.
So now he can go up to, but not including the Azara. But he can't enter into the Azara.
In the standard Mitzvah process.
Yeah. This is standard Mitzvah process.
Okay,
clarifying. And then now, So fine, so the Torah gives us a solution. But now, in this particular case, because of the complication, now we have a problem. Because, what's the complication? The complication is that now he's also Balkari. A Balkari cannot go into the Azara. Truth be told, Balkari can't go into the Harabais as well. But he can't go into the Azara. So now the Balkari can't go into the Azara. So now, how is he going to put his hand, his foot, and his right ear into the Azara? Meaning, as a Mitzara, the Torah gives him full allowance to do it. But he's not just a Mitzara. He's also a Balkari. Now, granted, by the way, he's a Tful Yom of a Balkari, meaning he already told him the mikvah. So he's not a full Balkari, he's just residual Balkari. But still, he's a Balkari. So what should he do? So Amru Chachamim. So the Chachamim actually have a expression in terms of how to deal with this. Afa Pishein Ein Tful Yom Acher Nichnas. Zu nichnas. Now, generally speaking, a Tful Yom cannot go into the Azara period, but over here he can. Why? Mutav Yavo Asei Sheish Bokaris V'Yitzcha Asei Sheim Bokaris. Because let's weigh what's in the balance over here. This person right now, if he goes through the Tahara process, finishes his Tahara process of the Mitzvah, so then he'd be Alati Karban Pesach tonight. The consumption of Karban Pesach is a Mitzvah D'oraisa, and on top of that, failure to eat the Karban Pesach brings about Nisr Kares. So it's an asatiation bokaris in Karban Pesach. Masha Enkein over here going into the Beis HaMikdash while being tame is a bit of asay, but because he's a tful yom, it doesn't have karis with it. So in other words, so which should weigh out over which? Obviously, the Karban Pesach should weigh out over his violating him being a tful yom going into the Beis HaMikdash. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Now, V'Rav Yochanan Amar, Dvar Torah, Afilu Asei Embo, Shenem Rav Yamod Yoshev, Bekal Yehuda, Vishlaim, Beveis Hashem, Lefnei HaChatzer HaChadosha, My Chatzer HaChadosha, Am Rav Yochanan Shechishu Ba Dvarim, V'Amru Tful Yom, Al Yikana Samachin Leviya. And then the Gemara points out that Rav Yochanan says, look, it's not even a Nisr D'oraisa for a Tful Yom to go into the Azara. It's Dvarim Chadoshim, it's a Gzeru D'Rabbanan, that a Tful Yom can't go into Harabais, it's a Tful Yom can't go into the Azara. So we're not even looking at Nisr D'oraisa, we're looking at Nisr D'Rabbanan. Basically, the point the Gemara is making is that according to Rav Yochanan, it's a real no-brainer. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, it's not such a no-brainer, but in other words, but according to Rav Yochanan, it's a real no-brainer. But anyway. Okay, all brings us to this point right now of the Gemara. Meaning, what do we have right now? We have a person who is completing his saras purification process, and on top of that, he also happens to be a tful yom for a balkari. And what allowance is being given for this individual to do is to take his hand, foot, and ear and put it into the azara, meaning bia b'miksas, so he can conclude his saras procedure. Good. That's what's going on right now. At this point in time, now the Gemara makes the following analysis. Iyamar bia b'miksas shma bia hechimal yade b'bahonos ida v'idi aser sheish bo kares. So the Gemara says, wait one second. If you're telling me that Bia B'miksas is considered Bia, so in other words, the Braisa said, it's an Esei She'ein Bo Karis. Esei She'ein Bo Karis? What do you mean Esei She'ein Bo Karis? Meaning he's Tameh. He's not concluded his Tahara Samitzora. On top of that, he's also a Balkari. Tful Yom, but still, he's a Balkari. So, and you're telling me it's not an Isser Karis? If Bia B'miksas is considered Bia, like Ula's saying, then it is Karis. For somebody who's tummy to go into the Azara. So how can you tell me that it's an Esei She'ein Bo Karis? That is the Gemara's question. Amar Lei Mitoncha. So he says to him, look, you see the question you just brought? Literally the load. Meaning, you see the question you just brought? So in other words, your question becomes my answer. I'm using your question as my answer. Shani Mitzara, hold the Hutal Atzarasa, Hutal Kiryo. In other words, again, we're talking about a very specific case where he already is given allowance to take his hand, foot, and ear and put it into the Azara. So once there's a heter for him to do that for Tzaras, there is also going to be a heter to do that for a balkari as well. Meaning, basically, one heter can piggyback on the back of the other heter.
Is there a reason that they use the example of balkari and then Thomas Sheretz or anything else?
Well, the Thomas Sheretz, balkari can't even be in the harabayas. Okay, I'm not sure. So, I'm Rav Yosef, Kasavar Ula, Ruban Zavan Nasu, Nasu Tmei Mesim, Hol Vehuchel, Tumasim Huchel Azivasan. Now, Rav Yosef says, look, this idea now of Kevin Shehuchra Huchra, in other words, basically one heter can piggyback on top of another heter. So Rav Yosef says, so I'm going to now suggest as follows. Now, Rav Yosef is going over this teaching of Kevin Shehuchra Huchra, and he wants to apply to the following scenario. Now, we know that if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Mes, so you bring Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah. Tumah Huchra B'tzibur. Or if I could say a little bit better right now, Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. But in other words, you'll see why I fine-tune the language in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, we know that that's true when it comes to Tumas Mace. We also know that if the majority of the Jewish people are Zavar Zava, so you do not bring the Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah, meaning Tumah Huchra B'tzibur is by Tumas Mace and not by Tumas Zav. That's what we know. And what about Sheretz? It's machlokus. But in other words, but the givens are, for the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Mes, Pesach, Huchra Pesach B'tzibur, Huchra, the Tumah Huchra B'tzibur. If it's Zav, so no. In other words, you can't bring Karban Pesach. What if, says Rav Yosef, the majority of the Jewish people are Tumah Zav, and then they become Tamei Mes? So, Hol V'Huchra Tumasim Huchra L'Zivasan. So Rav Yosef says, okay, here's a good example, where since now they get a heter for the Tumas Meis, so they're also going to get a heter for Tumas Zav as well. Meaning on this year, Karban Pesach can be brought. So Amalei Abaye, Midami. So Abaye says, what? Wait. I'm so confused, Abaye says to Rav Yosef. So Tumah Ishtare Ziv, I'm sorry, Midami. Tumah Ishtare Ziv Alo Ishtare. Meaning, when we're talking about piggybacking, meaning the only way we can have this idea of one heter piggybacking on top of another heter is if the first heter is introduced first, meaning the one that's actually permissible, and then there's another one that can piggyback along that. Okay, again, you may not love football analogies, but in other words, basically you got the blocker and then you have the runner coming in from behind. So in other words, but here, if the first iser is, if the first tum is tumah zav, and the second one is Tumas Meis, we don't say Kevin Dehotra Hotra, meaning first the Tumah that the Jewish people had was Zava, which is not Doche. In other words, Tumah is not Doche for Tumah Zav. And the second one is going to be Tumas Meis. We don't say they are Kevin Dehotra Hotra. So Amar Leis, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, you're right. Dilma Hachi Kamar Mar. Ruban Tumay Meisim Anasim Zavim Hol Vehutra Tumasim Hutra Lizivasim. Okay, you're right. In other words, let's start off with the Jewish people, the majority of the Jewish people being Tamei Mes, where now this year, Karban Pesach can be brought, Tumah Huchra B'tzibur, and then it was compounded by the fact that, I know the case is unusual, but doesn't matter. In other words, compounded by the fact that then they all became, or majority of them become, Tumah Zav. So in other words, because the Heter already existed, so came into Huchra Huchra. Fine. So Amar Le'in. So the Gemara says, yep, in other words, you're right. In other words, if you're going to take this idea that Ula just introduced and you want to apply it, now you made the right application. That's correct. However, but you know what? I'm still going to quibble. In other words, now even as you got the order right, I'm still bothered. Why? Because mitzare heterahu v'ishtare tuma. I'm sorry. Hol v'ishtare tuma dechuyehi laha idche laha lo idche. Look. When it comes to Mitzara, and we said that he puts his hand and his foot and his ear into the Azara, is that Dechuya or is that Hutra? In other words, and the difference between them, as we've gone over time and again, is that Hutra means perfectly allowed. Absolutely legitimate. Meaning the Torah, the Torah gives full clearance for this to happen. Dechuya, on the other hand, means, it's not perfectly allowed, but the Torah is going to make an exception for this case. Meaning Bekoshi, Rashi's language. Rashi's language. Give me a moment. Rashi's language. Bekoshi. Meaning with difficulty, the Torah allows it. What's the difference between Hutra and Dechuya? It's very simple. Meaning we're going to look for another avenue. Meaning if it's Hutra, so in other words, it's perfectly allowed. There's no need for us to have any type of stress, anxiety, or look for any other avenue. However, if it's Dechuya, so we'll look for another avenue. If there's no other avenue, we'll do it this way. Otherwise, we're going to look for other ways. Okay, so in other words, this is Hutra versus Dechuya. And now the Gemara is arguing like this, that the Mitzara, it's a Heter. meaning it's absolutely allowed. So hov ishtar ishtarve. So therefore I will say, look, if there's a heter for him to insert his hand and his foot and his ear into the azara because it's hotra, so that's perfectly allowed, I can see another isser piggybacking on top of that. Fine. Meaning, and on top of that, he's also a tul yom of azav, or I should say better, a bal kari. Fine. In other words, I could easily see that. However, in a scenario of tumah hutra b'tzibor, meaning by Karban Pesach, where the majority of the Jewish people are tame, and we're going to assume for this discussion that even though the Jewish people are allowed to bring Karban Pesach in a state of tumah, it's not a hutra, but rather it's dechuya, meaning bekoshi. In other words, the Torah gives an allowance, but doesn't love it. But in other words, but acknowledges that this year we're going to bring Karban Pesach. So over here it's dechuya. So in other words, I cannot see in this case so easily the idea that one heter is just going to piggyback on top of the other when the first one is only dechuya, not hutra. In other words, hutra is a stronger allowance, so therefore it can serve as a better guard to allow the running back to run through. Masha enke, when it comes to dechuya, it's not as strong. That's what the Gemara is thinking. So Amar Lei, Amar Lei Rava Ad Rava. And Rava says, you know what? I'll take this argument and I'll just flip it right on its head. And I think it's just the opposite. Ibcha mistabra. You know what? You want to tell me about what serves as a better guard? What serves as a better lineman to serve as a piggyback for another heter, for a secondary heter? So I'll tell you what is. Mitzara heterahu laishtari laha lo ishtari. Tuma dechuyihi mali cha dechuyi mali shtei dechuyos. I'll say just the opposite. Look. When you have a heter, what's the Torah basically saying when the Torah is matir? The Torah is saying that there's no issur here whatsoever. In other words, there's a full allowance to do so. So in other words, the Torah is not pushing anything through. In other words, when it comes to a heter, the Torah is basically saying it's okay. It's perfectly okay. So if you want to tell me that another heter should piggyback on top of this heter, what do you mean piggyback? In other words, it's not pushing. There's no stress. So over here, if there's a heter, so for this there's a heter, for something else there's no heter. So in the case of the Mitzorah and the Baal Keri, where the Mitzorah, it's not that the Torah is saying, no, it's okay to put your hands through, meaning it's perfectly allowed. But in other words, but only for that case, but no, for no other case. Masha Ein Kein, if we're talking about Dechuya now, meaning that the Torah is saying, look, Bekoshi, we're pushing it through. So once you're pushing it through, so now you could take another heter from behind and push that through as well. So Rava says, I see it just being the opposite. Okay. So basically what we're, it's very, very interesting argument at the end of the Amud, in terms of Kevendi, Hovi Shtari Shtari. Is that easier to say that by a heter? Is that easier to say by something which is Duchuya? And a machlok is between Rav and Rav Yosef in terms of where is it easier to make such an argument? But in the meantime, however, we're now in the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara makes a very simple observation. So the Gemara says, oh, and by the way, it's very clear from the Amoraim that when they're talking about Karban Pesach and the allowance for the Jewish people to bring Karban Pesach, the way they're looking at it is Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur, meaning it's not a heter, but rather it's Dechuy, meaning Bekoshi. And Rashi over here on the top of the Amud says that because it's not a full allowance, because the Torah is not giving a full heter to do so we should try to look for other avenues. In this particular case, what does that mean, other avenues? Meaning, if there's a Kohen who's not Tameh, so preferable for him to bring the Karban Pesach, even though the majority of the Jewish people are Tameh and the Karban is going to become Tameh anyway. But still, in other words, to the best of our ability, we should do it in a state of Tahara, not in a state of Tumah. Okay. Anyway, where does all this take us to? So we started off this morning with a statement by Ula. Ula says, Bia b'mitzah shma bia. And what we've been doing up until now is trying to see whether or not Ula's rule is true, is correct or not correct. And so far, we're right now on the table with, we have a Braisa. The Braisa seemingly is going against Ula, but the Gemara says not necessarily. And so, Lema, Misayele. So we're on the very top of Lama Gemara, Amin Aleph, and the Gemara would like to try to bring another proof for Ula in terms of whether or not we say Bia B'mikzah Shmei Bia. And again, a reminder, Ula says Bia B'mikzah Shmei Bia. It is considered entrance. So the Gemara says, "Kol asmicha shayusham kore alem ani take of the smicha shchita." In other words, generally speaking, when we have a karban so, takef l'smicha shchita. In other words, there's a mitzvah of smicha, where the owner of the animal puts his weight on the head of the animal, meaning takes his hands, put them on the head of the animal, and then applies pressure and weight on the head of the animal. The mitzvah of smicha. And then, after that, you do shchita. And the rule is takef, meaning that these two actions must be done back to back. They have to be done in, with no separation separating the two. However, there is a notable exception, and we head right back to the mitzara. Chutz mizu shahaisa b'shar nikana she'ein mitzara yachul ikanas l'sham ad shemazin alav midam chatzaso midam hashama. Okay, and the notable exception is back to our mitzara. So again, day 8 of the mitzara. Here we are again. Day 8 of the mitzara, so our mitzara is going to be bringing 3 karbanos, 2 of which are going to be a chatzas and an asham. On the chatzas and an asham, so there would be a mitzvah of smicha. But here's the problem. Once again, he can't go into the azara. And the animal can't come out of the azara. So where is smicha going to be done? And the answer is it can't be done. Can't be done. That's what the Braisa teaches us. And so we're just gonna do away with smicha. Obviously it'd be nice if we could have done smicha, but there's simply no way to do it, so you don't do smicha. Good. That's the Braisa. The Gemara now asks the following question. So the Yachulikanashama Ashamazim Alab Midam Khatasomi Dama Ashama. Period. The E Amar Bia Bimixas Loshma Bia. So the Gemara says, now if Bia Bimixas is not considered Bia, meaning if Ula was wrong, so Leo Yadeva Lismach. So now, here's what you could do. You can have the mitzara stand right up against the sharni karna. Now, if you have a picture of the azara right now, it's really helpful. The it's right over there. I got it in my head. And if what's called, and if you have an art scroll, he's got a picture. So in other words, you're going to have the mitzara stand up right up by the sharni karna gate. Now, the sharni karna gate is centrally located, meaning it is half of it is on the north side of the azara and half of it's on the south side of the azara. And we know that when it comes to a chatzas and an asham, it has to be shaft on the north side of the azara. So the Gemara now is suggesting, well, what should be the problem? Meaning, he can't do smicha? Sure he could. Take the animal and put it up against the sharni karna or north side. So now, the mitzvah will be standing directly outside of the azara. He won't go in. The animal will be right up against the azara, but not in the interior. And now, let him put his hands in and let him do smicha on top of the head of the animal. It has to be...
One second.
I'll get there. The animal has to be shechted in the north. You're in the north, meaning because of the central location of the sharni karna, you're in the north. So in other words, so you can do smicha and you can do shechita immediately afterwards. And what's the problem, says the Gemara? So in other words, so this is point for Ula. Sounds like Ula's correct. So Amar Rav Yosef, Amani Rav Yosef, Rav Yehudi, Amar Merchuk Safon. So the Gemara says, okay, but the author of this braisa subscribes to the opinion of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. And we've seen this now 3 times, the third time in our Masechta talking about what is considered north in the Azara. Meaning we know that a Chatas and a Nasham and Nolaf to be Shechta on the north side of the Azara. But when we say north, what exactly does that mean? It's a 3-way machlokus amongst the Tanayim. The Gemara right now was assuming that north could be anywhere northbound. In other words, if I just simply draw a line running horizontally across, well, horizontal. In other words, running across the Azara, anywhere north of that line would be okay. That's what the Gemara was thinking up until now. And the Gemara says, no, that's not that. I mean, yes, there are some Tanaim who agree to this opinion, but the Gemara says, but that's not our Tana. Our Tana is the opinion of Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, who says, you know what the area of north is for the Shechita of a Chatas and Asham and a Karban Olah? North means only the area that runs parallel directly north of the Mizbeach. That area and only that area can be where we shecht our Asham Chatas and Olah. How far is that from Sharni Karna? Rashi actually tells us. Rashi says 22 amas. Meaning if I were to walk into the Azara from the Sharni Karna, so it would be 22 amas until I get to that area just north of the Mizbeach. And so what the Gemara now is saying is that you can't do it. Now you can't do it. Meaning if the rules take up the smicha shchita, so what am I going to do? I'm going to have the mitzvah now standing on the north side of the sharni karnor and do smicha, but then I'm going to have to march the animal 22 amas over to the top of the mizbech, to the north side of the mizbech, and do shchita, and I've lost takef the smicha shchita. The Gemara makes a suggestion, v'lavid pishpesh. So the Gemara says, okay, so really, this is not such a problem, meaning this, we can have a really easy solution over here. So in other words, if the problem is that we're going to have the 22 Amah march, so why don't we do the following? Why don't we go to the north side of the Azara? And why don't we just simply open up an entrance on the north side of the Azara, directly opposite the Mizbeach? And now, with this little entrance, what we can now have the Mitzvah go over there from the outside, have the animal be on the north side of the Azara, and again, we can have a meeting of the two. Mitzvah on the outside, animal on the inside, have the Mitzvah put his hands in, put his rest of his hands on top of the animal, on the head of the animal of the Asham and the Chatas, and then do the smicha immediately afterwards. Why can't we do that? So Abai v'Rava d'Amri Tavai al kol bechsav miyad Hashem alai hiskil. Kol melechet satavnis. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, and that is that we have no right to make any type of new construction in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi writes, kol bechsav kach amar David, kol pesach ha'azara umido seha, entrances, dimensions, ubinyan kol abayis, nimster li miyad Hashem, all given to me via nevuah, ve'in lohosev ala cheshbon, ubiya b'mikzas loshmabiya. In other words, then you just simply can't add to the number. In other words, so there are certain number of entrances into the Azara. That's it, right? Plans are closed, and no additions whatsoever. Now, over here, Tosis, by the way, notes that when we say no additions here whatsoever, there are times where additions, annexations are made. And so Tosus points out that the rule is not as unilateral, as fundamental, as the Gemara over here is presenting. But in other words, but still, the point of the Gemara is the same. You can't make a new Pesach. You can't make a new entrance to the Azara. Okay. So where do we stand right now? Meaning we're not necessarily in support of Ula. It could be that this price is a support for Ula. Meaning, why doesn't the Mitzvah just simply take his hand and put it on the head of the animal? Ula is right, be a mimikzah shmabia. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. Meaning, it could very well be that be a mimikzah is not considered bia, and it could just simply be that there are technical problems. Meaning, we lose out the take of the smicha shchita. In other words, when I have to march the animal 22 amas in order to shecht it after smicha, that's no good. Or making another opening on the north side, that you can't do. Hakol b'chsav. So the Gemara says, so it could be for technical reasons that they were unable to do this, but not because of Ula's reason. Iga da Amri, the Gemara has a slightly different version. Amri Rav Yosef, kol asomech rosha v'ruba machnes. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, over here, you know what the issue is? The issue is like this. What Ben said just a moment ago, and that is that the reason why the Mitzvah can't do smicha is because it's not just you simply rest your hands on the head of the animal, but when you put your hands on the animal, you're putting all the weight of your body on that animal. And so therefore it's going to end up being, it's not just going to be your hands that are going into the Azara, it's going to be your whole body going to the Azara. The majority of your body going into the Azara, it's not bia b'miksas, that's the problem. So my time, kol kocha b'inan, hilkoch lo efshar. So the Gemara says, so in other words, it's another reason why it could be that Ula is not correct, but over here the issue is it's not bia b'miksas. In other words, it would be the majority of your body going into the Azara. Now the Gemara says, now let's think all this through. In other words, what we just stated. We said now that the Masorah is not going to do smicha, and why not? Because of either Ula's rule, or because of technical aspects which the Gemara just laid out. The Gemara says, make my kasav. The Gemara says, can we think this through? Ikasav smicha sashem mitzvah daraisa, meaning the mitzvah of doing smicha on the carbon ashem. Is that a mitzvah daraisa? Now it's funny that the Gemara is proposing this like as a possibility. What do you mean a possibility? It is a mitzvah. Meaning, what's the option? Meaning, why wouldn't it be considered a mitzvah? In other words, the Gemara is suggesting that it's a daraisa. It's not a suggestion, meaning it is a daraisa, presumably, right? So hold that thought. Well, I'm going to come back to that. So ikas of smicha hashem is daraisa. If doing smicha on the carbon hashem is a daraisa, and take of the smicha shchita daraisa, and this idea that there could be no gap between the smicha and the shchita, if that's a din daraisa, so leov lismach lehecha derechman amar. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So then, of course, you should do it. Meaning, remember earlier this morning, right? Not so long ago, right? Half an hour ago. We were discussing here in the daf how the Mitzvah can't go into the Azara. How is he going to put his thumb into the, how is he going to have the application of the blood of the Asham on his thumb and on his toe and on his ear? And the answer is, well, the Torah says he could do it. So therefore he could do it. So what the Gemara now is wondering, right, out loud, which is such a wonderful question. Well, if smicha is a mitzvah daraisa, and the idea of take of a smicha shchita is a din daraisa, so then, Mr. Mitzvah, come into the Azara, Put your hand on the animal, rest your hands on the animal, meaning do the mitzvah smicha. Right? You were okay with it vis-a-vis the application of the blood, because the Torah says that's what you have to do. If the Torah says here, that's what you have to do, then that's what you have to do. So Amar Rav Azar Bar Masna Gzera Shema Yarbe Bipsios. So a really interesting answer of the Gemara, proposal of the answer of the Gemara, which is, you know what? In other words, if we're going to give him allowance to come into the Azar in order to do smicha on the animal, so he may take extra steps which are unnecessary, meaning anything which is absolutely necessary obviously is allowed. But extra steps which are unnecessary is not allowed, and so is Gzera. Now, I know we always say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, but first of all, we say that primarily with the Kohanim, not with the people. And number two, it's also not true. Meaning, when the Gemara says Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, what the Gemara means is that generally, there's no Isuri D'Rabban in the Mikdash, but we've already noted a number of times where there is a Shvus B'Mikdash. Okay. Yeah. Right, correct. In other words, the application of the blood is an excellent point. The application of the blood on the mitzvah is on the bahonos. So that is something which is absolutely essential and absolutely necessary. So there, ain't braver. There's no choice. So over here, we're talking about the mitzvah smicha. Karma's going to work without smicha. Right, that's an excellent point. It's a really excellent point. So Amar Vada Bar Masna Gzera Shem Yarbe Bipsius. Yigad Amri. Now the Gemara has a slightly different version. Amar Vada Bar Masna Smicha Sasha Mitzora Daraisa V'Tekev L'Smicha L'Shchita Lav Daraisa. So now, remember, when we asked the question, we went in with two assumptions. And like any good question, meaning if a question is predicated on an assumption, so you just simply change the assumption, then the question goes away. So then, in other words, in another version of how to answer this question, again, the question on the table is, why not just have the Mitzora come into the Azara and do Smicha? It's a Din Daraisa, right? So the Gemara is now suggesting, well, Smicha Sasham of the Mitzora is Daraisa, but take of the Smicha Shchita Lav Daraisa. The idea that he's going to have to do Smicha, that is a Mitzvah in the Torah, but the idea that they have to be in absolute proximity one to another, Smicha and Shchita, that's not in the Torah. Meisra, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'samach v'shachat, ma'smicha b'torin av shchita b'torin. So in other words, we know that smicha, right, we saw this braisa just yesterday, right, the Torah puts together samach v'shachat, right, in other words, in the same pasuk, just like smicha has to be done by tahorin, meaning smicha is done in the Azara, must be done by Torah people, shchita also has to be done by tahorin as well. Now, iamart lav daraisa b'tanit mitzmeim nami mishkach ala. Now, if you're telling me that it's not a din daraisa, take of the smicha shchita, so what are you telling me that smicha has to be done by tahorin? Smicha can be done by tameim as well, as we just described. In other words, have the tamei person do smicha, in other words, by standing outside the Azar and having to smicha, and then vis-a-vis the shchita, so do it at a later point in time, meaning march the animal over to the north side of the Azar and have shchita be done. So the Gemara says, you're right, ela epoch. So the Gemara says, what I meant to do is, we're going to change an assumption, but we're going to change the other assumption. Smichas asha matzara lav da'araisa v'tekel v'smicha shchita da'araisa. The idea that there has to be an immediacy between smicha and shchita. There could be no gap between smicha and shchita, that's a din daraisa. You are right. However, I'll tell you where you're not right. Smicha for the carbon asham. Smicha for, as I should say better and more accurately, smicha for the asham etzora. That's not a din daraisa. And because that's not a din daraisa, that's why in this particular case we're not giving a special allowance for the etzora to do smicha. Now we can ask the question. How is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying it. How is the Gemara saying that smicha on the Asha Mitzvah is not a din daraisa? Smicha is a mitzvah min haTorah. Now, in other words, not every carbon there's a requirement to smicha, but for a chatas, for an asham, there is a requirement of smicha. So the Gemara is saying over here, not in this case. Why not in this case? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi in the very bottom, smicha Asha Mitzvah lav daraisa, kasava she'eno bichlal ashamos, sharei eno ba el lahachshir. The carbon asham of the Mitzvah is an asham, but asham only by name, not by function. I know this sounds strange, but that's what Rashi is saying. Meaning, the Torah calls it a carbon asham, and so therefore, in terms of avoda, we're going to treat it with all the rules and regulations of a carbon asham, but it's an asham by name, not by function. Meaning, generally speaking, what does an asham do? It's mechapir. Meaning, a person is in violation of the Torah, and so under those circumstances, the Torah gives an avenue of how to be mechapir. That's true. But not for the asham etzora, meaning, yes, you want to tell me that the Metzorah is a Chote, but, you know, I always counter by saying, and that's why he got Tzaras, meaning the Tzaras was a Kapara. Now, why is he bringing all these Kabanos? To simply to be Machshir, to allow him to go back into the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, so this Ashram is not there for the purposes of being Mechaper, it's there for the purposes of being Machshir. So it's, in other words, it's not a classic carbon asham. When you have a carbon being brought as a kapara, so then you do smicha, and you basically, again, to the best of our understanding, the best way I could say this, and you're transferring over your chait from you onto the animal, and right then, right, this animal should be sacrificed instead of me, etc., etc. So when the animal is being brought as a mechaper, fine, so then there's smicha. But over here, asham, but only in name, not in function. Ravina Amar, Linyan Malkos Itmar. Now Ravina over here, is going to give a different proposed answer to a question that we asked actually from this point going forward a long time ago. Meaning that we go all the way back to the beginning of the Sugya, and we all go all the way back to Ula. Ula says in the name of Shlekesh that Tamashaykh Nasyadulafnim Loka. That if you have a tummy person who goes in and takes his hands and puts them into the base of Mikdash, you're subject to Malkus. And then if you remember, a long time ago we asked the question, well, if you have now a Mitzora, who's also a Balkari, and he told them the Mikdash, so now he's a Tful Yom of a Balkari. So in other words, what should he do? And the answer of the Brisa was, if you remember, now back to the beginning of Shir today, well, we should let the Karm Pesach, which is an Esei Sheish Balkaris, be Doche, an Esei Sheim Balkaris. And at that point in time, we were a little bit concerned. Not concerned, but we were bothered. What do you mean? If Ula's right, then putting your hands into the Azara is also an Esei Sheyesh Bokaris. Right? Bia b'mikdash may bia. And so if that's true, so then how can we just simply say that the Karban Pesach should override the Esei Sheyesh Bokaris? It's an Esei, according to Ula, Sheyesh Bokaris. That was the question. And what the Gemara now is doing is proposing a second answer, really quickly. And the Gemara says, Ravina Amar Linyan Malkos Itmar. No. In other words, when Ula was saying that Bia b'mikdash may bia, it's, in other words, it's not a full Bia, meaning it's not that you are fully entering into the Azara while being in a state of Tumah. It's a partial Bia. Meaning, and even though the language of Ula is Bia b'mikdash may bia, it's considered Bia, but in other words, not in the absolute full sense. In other words, the Torah just simply says that if you do so, you'll be subject to Malkos. So in other words, if this is correct, then we go back and we answer the question that we asked really simply. Meaning, if Ula's right, so isn't putting your hands into the Azara considered an Issacharis? No. It's not an Issacharis, it's just simply a Lav. Okay. Ki also Rabban Amar Rabbi Abao, Le'in Tami Shinaga Bekodesh Itmar. Now, the Gemara over here is going to be speaking out the opinion of Reish Lakish, but in a slightly modified fashion. Meaning, if you go back to the beginning of where we started this morning, An Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, Amar Ula Amar Reish Lakish, Tami Sheikh Nisiyad Alafnim, Lokish and Namar, meaning, and he quotes the pasuk. Where's the pasuk being quoted from? So the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, Uve Mikdash Lo Savo. In other words, can't touch Kodesh, can't enter into the Mikdash. Now, what we've been saying up until now is that Ula learns from this pasuk, quoting Reish Lakish, via b'miksas, meaning a partial entrance is considered an entrance. Just like negia b'miksas is considered negia, via b'mikdash, via b'miksas is considered bia. That's what we've been saying up until now. The Gemara now is noting that other people look at the same pasuk, but do not arrive at the same conclusion. Amar ki asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Abahu. So Ravin comes in and he quotes the name Rabbi Abahu. L'inyan tami shenaga b'kodesh itmar. Meaning the pasuk over here is actually making reference to somebody who's tummy who touches kodesh. The itmar, the gemara quotes the following: tummy shenaga b'kodesh. If I have somebody who's tummy and he touches kodesh, Reish Lakish amar loka, Rav Yochanan amar eino loka. So here we have a machlok between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, whether such an individual subject to malchus. Reish Lakish amar loka v'chol kodesh lo siga. And how does Reish Lakish arrive at the conclusion that you get malchus while being in a state of Tumah and touching Kodesh? The Torah says, Bechol Kodesh lo siga. Rav Yochanan Amar ein oloke. Hahu b'chumaksiv. And Rav Yochanan says, no. No, in other words, that's only talking about Truma. That's not talking about Kodesh. Now, Couple of things. How do I know that that pasuk is talking about Truma? How do I know that's not talking about Kodesh? I'll put that down as question number one. Question number two. If you're going to get Malkus for a tummy person touching Truma, aren't you for sure going to get Malkus for a tummy person touching Kodesh? Meaning, let's consider. Truma has a level of Kedusha. Karban has a higher level of Kedusha. So if I am going to get Malkus for touching Truma, a tummy person touching Truma, you're not going to get Malkus for a tummy person touching Kodesh? So let's respond to both questions. When I say let's, I mean, let's read Rashi. Rashi addresses both these questions. First of all,
are you talking here about touching the carbon, or is it talking here about just entering the space? Because the space of
That's the second half of the pasuk. The second half of the pasuk of Mikdash Lo Savo. In other words, V'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, V'mikdash Lo Savo. Second half of the pasuk is talking about Bias. First half of the pasuk is talking about what? Up until now, so that's what, meaning for the majority of today's daf, we were talking about partially going in. Right. Now we're saying no. In other words, it's actually talking about contact. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk's talking about Truma, making contact with Truma. How do you see that from the pasuk? Torah doesn't talk about Truma over there. It just simply says that when a woman gives birth, so b'chol kodesh lo siga, she can't touch Kodesh. And that's talking about Truma? How do I know? Rashi writes, b'truma k'siv, k'demucha sefer dekra. So Rashi says you have to do a little bit of detective work, but in other words, you do it and you'll arrive at the conclusion that we're talking about Truma. Because ad melos yemei tahara. In other words, and this extends to what? Until she finishes counting her days. When a woman gives birth. So it's if it's a boy, she is tamei for 7 days, and then tahara for the next 33 days. If it's a girl, just double those numbers. 14 and 66. And when the Torah says that she can't make any contact with Truma, so that is going to be ad melos yemei tahara. Until the yemei tahara concluded. So for a boy, it's going to be for the 33 days. For a girl, 66 days. She yar yashimsha. She tfulas yom aruch she tavas b'shviya. Leleida savichol yemei torah shalah harehi ketfulas yom. Really interesting way to look at a yoledes. And that is as follows. Let's say she gave birth to a boy. Rashi, using the numbers for a boy. She gave birth to a boy. So for 7 days now, she's tamea. On day 7, she'll tovel in the mikvah. Now, that night, or I should say better, for the next 33 days, she's what's considered Tvul Yom. Now, generally speaking, the period of Tvul Yom will just go for a couple of hours. Or to be more accurate, from the time you tovel in the mikvah during the day until the sun sets. Maybe upwards of 11 hours, but in other words, nothing more than that. However, when it comes to a Yoledes, so on day 7 after having had a boy, she will tovel in the mikvah, and the next 33 days, it's considered a Tvul Yom Aruch. Meaning she's in the status of being a Tvul Yom from Tfilah B'Mikvah on day 7 until day 40, where she's going to tovel in the mikvah again. Over Yom Mem Ve'echad Mevi'a Karbana, and then on day 41, she's going to bring her Karbanos. Umidich Zivlo Siga Ad Malos, Ava Mishim Lu Yameh Atiga, Ve'afilu Mechuseres Kapera, Akarchach B'Trumak Siv. Now that we're viewing this period as a period of Tvul Yom, what do we know about Tvul Yom? We go back to what we know. We learned it on the first daf of Daf Yomi, meaning in Brachos Daf Beis. A Tvul Yom can't eat Truma. And it goes without saying, can't touch Truma. In other words, when can a Kohen eat and touch Truma? Harav Shemesh. Meaning after toveling in the mikvah, wait till sun sets, wait till nightfall, then you're allowed to eat Truma. Over here, when the Torah is saying, hey, during this extended period of Tvul Yom, she can't touch Kodesh. Oh, if we're looking at this extended period as a period of Tvul Yom, so the Kodesh over here must be referenced to Truma, says Rashi. Akarchich b'Truma k'siv, delayin Kodesh, ashetavi kaparasa, v'achim upmin lahaikra, b'yavamas ba'arel. And the Gemara in Yavamas makes this point as well. V'kevin d'b'Truma k'siv, lo yafina malchus de Kodesh. So in other words, so now that the pasuk is only talking about Truma, so you can't extend it over to Malchus. So we answered question number one. Question number one, according to Rav Yochanan, the pasuk is talking about Truma. How do I know that? Okay, good. So we just went through the detective work of Rashi. Question number two is that, okay, so she can't touch Truma. If she can't touch Truma, she can't touch Kodesh as well, right? In other words, if she's going to get Malchus for touching Truma, she should get Malchus for touching Kodesh as well. Next part of Rashi. V'afil b'kav v'chomer de'in mazirin min adin. So Rashi says over here, okay, you're right. In other words, they would make it for a great kav v'chomer. You don't punish somebody based on a kav v'chomer. Ain't right. The Rashi over here's language is ain't mazir min adin, right? Ain't onshin min adin. So, but in other words, but you can't punish somebody based on a kavachomer. So you want to. So Rav Yochanan says that since the pasuk is only talking about truma, that's it. We can't extend a punishment beyond making contact with Truma. Okay, so what do we have right now? So according to another version, Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, their understanding of the Pasuk is the Pasuk's not talking about entrance into the Mikdash, but talking about making contact with Kodesh while being in the state of Tuma. According to Reish Lakish, it's Kodesh, and according to Rav Yochanan, it's only Truma. Back to the Gemara, Reish Lakish, I call Lachu Da'asa Hami Baile Azar Locha Basar Kodesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Reish Lakish was looking at the very same Pasuk, and understanding of the Pasuk was talking about eating Kodesh. Din Marzara Locha Basar Kodesh Minayan. How do I know that there's a Nazara, there's a Isser in the Torah not to eat Kodesh while being in the state of Tuma? Reish Lakish Amar Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. Rav Yochanan Martini Bardala Asya Tumasa Tumasa Mibias Mikdash. Malahalan Anash Vihizir Afkan Anash Vihizir. Rav Yochanan learns it out based on a Hekesh. But according to Reish Lakish, it comes from this very Pasuk. And so what the Gemara is asking is, Reish Lakish, you're learning out now two separate Isserim from this Pasuk. So we're going to answer that question in just a moment. Tami Shinaga Bekosh Bin Afke Rechmana Balasha Negiya. Now as far as a Tami touching Kodesh, how do I know that a Tami is prohibited from touching Kodesh and that there's a law in the Torah to do so? Because by virtue of the fact that even though according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Pasuk's talking about eating, it's talking about consuming, but the verb in the Torah that's used is Negiya. Since the Torah is using the word Negiya, so that means that the Torah is really speaking to a double Isser. An Isser of making contact and an Isser of eating as well. Azar la ochel mid itkish kodesh la mikdash. And as far as a warning for eating, so since there's a hekish between kodesh and mikdash, so that means to say that there's a warning for eating as well. So the fine. So in other words, what we come out now, according to the second version, is that we Reish Lakish for is looking at this pasuk of the b'chol kodesh lo sigo v'mikdash lo savo. So for the first half of today's daf, we understood that to be a discussion, an Isser in the Torah of not making entrance into the Beis HaMikdash and not even making partial entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. And now, according to another version, Ravin, when he comes in from Eretz Yisrael, he says no. The Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan were understanding this Pasuk, not in terms of entering into the Beis HaMikdash, but making contact with Kodesh, touching Kodesh. According to Reish Lakish, according to Rav Yochanan, you're not allowed to touch Kodesh. It's just a question of what Kodesh is. Reish Lakish says Kodesh means Karban. Rav Yochanan says no, Kodesh means Truma. The lav is only for Truma. And then in the a subsequent discussion of what is the where's the source of a tummy person eating Karban? Where's the source for that? Reish Lakish learns it from this pasuk. Rav Yochanan learns it based on a separate Hekesh. So we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tanya Kavasei.